We're turning in the Word of God tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're thinking tonight about the realization of heaven, what we're going to be like. And this chapter is informative and has something to tell us with regard to the subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to begin our reading at verse 35. Follow the reading, please. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our God and Father, in the stillness of this moment, we turn aside again in prayer, very simply to ask the blessing of God upon that which we have read. We thank thee that these words are the words of Scripture, given by divine inspiration,
We thank thee that every word that we have read tonight is true and accurate. Everything that this passage of Scripture tells us about will come to pass. And when we think of the future, we praise thee that there will be that great day of resurrection when these mortal bodies of the saved of God will put on immortality. And these corruptible bodies of ours will put on incorruption, and we shall be changed. We look forward to that day. We pray that you'll bless your word. May it be a strength to your people. May it be a challenge to the unconverted. We pray that signs will follow, that God will do what he pleases in the heart of all that are gathered. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The very first message that we brought in this series, if you can remember back those many weeks ago, it is now, we dealt with the subject of the realization of heaven, what heaven is going to be like. And we know that there are many glorious descriptions given to us, both in the Old Testament and particularly in the New, of what heaven is going to be like for the people of God. We homed in on three of those descriptions. We thought of heaven as the city, so described particularly in the last two chapters of the Bible, and we gave some attention to Revelation 21 and 22, and that glorious city that is set before us there. We also thought of the description that the Savior gave when he called it his Father's house, bringing words of comfort to the disciples before he took leave of them and returned to his Father's side. He said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." And we thought about heaven, the home of God's dear people. And then we thought briefly about the description of paradise. Heaven is called paradise. When Christ was hanging on the cross and the thief beside him repented of his sin, Jesus gave him that wonderful assurance, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And we pondered over those descriptions, and I know that our hearts were stirred as we thought about our eternal home. I want now to examine what we will be like. Not so much what heaven is like, but the people of God, what are we going to be like when we are in heaven? It will be an existence of absolute perfection, as different from this life as it is possible to be. The first thing that I want to mention, and most of what I say thereafter will flow from this, the people of God will have a perfect body, a glorified body. The question is asked in our reading tonight, is the first verse that we read, verse 35. Some man will say, "How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" And most of the other verses that we read tonight give the answer. And that answer is summarized in three particular verses, verse 51 through to 53. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality." This fleshly tabernacle that we possess now is not perfect. It is not incorruptible. It is not immortal. The word immortal means living forever. It literally means deathlessness. And the word incorruptible means that it cannot decay, it cannot be destroyed. Rather, these bodies of ours are both mortal and corruptible. They are full of decay, they are apt to disease and to death. One day, be it near or far, this earthly frame of ours will die, and we shall, as the Scripture tells us, return to dust. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. At the point of death, the saved soul will soar into heavenly places to be with Christ, which is far better. But the body, as we know, will be laid in the grave. It is mortal, and it is corruptible, and it will decay. There it will await the resurrection of the just. Jesus promised, I will raise him up at the last day. So the body of the believer is going to be raised. That wonderful promise given to Martha in a time of sorrow, not far from the place of death where the body of her dear brother lay in his tomb. That wonderful promise given by Christ in John chapter 11, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And this will occur. This will happen. And it will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. The apostle writing to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 makes this abundantly clear when he says in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But the question is asked, some man will ask the question, the apostle tells us, with what body do they come? Will it be the same body? Will it have the same shape, the same appearance, the same qualities? Will it be the same age? Or will it be something entirely different? Well, Paul provides the answer, and we read it there in that 52nd verse of 1 Corinthians 15. And you want to mark and underline the word change. The body will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In the instant of the resurrection, miraculously, by the power of God, we shall be changed. Or, if we are alive when our dear Savior returns to this earth again, we shall not die. We shall rise. We shall rise with those who have been resurrected from their graves, but we shall also be changed. The dead will be changed. The living saints will also be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Savior will bring to light this mystery. It will be at the last trump. As this summons is given, the graves shall open, the dead saints shall rise incorruptible, and the living saints will be changed to the same incorruptible state. Now, this means a number of things. This means that our changed body will not necessarily appear different. We read in verse 38 tonight that God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Every person has their own personal identity. We look at a person, we recognize them, because in the great mystery of giving to each person their own identity, we see everybody else in this world different. And that's a wonderful thing when we think of the millions, the billions of people that live in this world. Every person has been given their own personal identity, a body by which they can be recognized. And so the saved of God will retain their own personal identity forever. And exactly how that will all come to pass, I'm not sure, but everyone will have their identity. Our changed body will also reflect the image of God. We're going to be like the Lord. Verse 49 of the passage of Scripture tells us that as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The saved of God are to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, that happens in part while we live on the earth. We are to be like the Lord. In the miracle of the new birth, in the great work of redemption, as the Lord has saved us and he has changed us, we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so in our daily walk with the Lord, as that great process of sanctification takes place in your life and mine that are saved, there will be those characteristics found in us that we find in our dear Savior. We are to be like him. And so our character, our conversations, our behavior, things about us will reflect something of Christ. We sometimes sing those lines, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wondrous compassion and purity. O thy spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." But the reality of that and the completeness of it is yet to be. The Lord has so ordained, in fact the word predestined is used, that you and I are to be conformed to the image of Christ. And one day in the glorious resurrection, we are going to be like him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now, if you're a Christian in this meeting, you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, you're a child of the King, right now. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be, thinking of the future. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And praise God, we're going to see him. And we're going to see him as he is. So the changed body will not necessarily appear differently. There will be some characteristic of what we looked like on earth still found in us. The changed body will also reflect the image of God, particularly the second person who became flesh like unto you and I. We're going to be like the Savior. And the changed body is also needful to inhabit heaven. Verse 50 of the passage of Scripture. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." In order for you and I who are believers tonight to enter heaven and enjoy the eternal pleasures of God forevermore, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The natural body is flesh and blood, consisting of bones, muscles, nerves, veins, arteries, the organs of the body, and their various fluids. Such a constitution is liable to decay and to death and corruption. And so therefore, to inherit something that is incorruptible, a change has to take place. A change into an ever-enduring substance that is incorruptible, that is glorious, that is spiritual, thus making it fit to inhabit the celestial world. Just look at verse 44. "It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And to you and I, this perfect, glorified body will be given when the Savior comes again. There's no doubt about it that even now as we live upon the earth, we can say with the psalmist that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We think of the complexity of the human body and all that constitutes the body of man. We have to say that it's a wonderful creation by Almighty God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It's going to be beyond human comprehension. Wonderful as the earthly body is, it is not as glorious as the heavenly body. And that heavenly body will be given to the saved of God. Following on from that, as we ask the question, what are we going to be like in heaven? Well, when we think of the glorified body, we have to say there's no more death. Isn't that a grand thing tonight? Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful promise of God? When God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes on that great day, the Bible says there's no more death. Death is vanquished. This new body knows nothing of the death of the old. It never decays, it never deteriorates, it never ages, it never wrinkles, it never gets old, it never grows feeble or weak, it never dies. What an awful enemy death is. It's a cruel enemy. It robs the mother of her baby. And as we've heard last Sunday night, it has robbed a mother and a father of an infant child, a little child not quite 2 years of age. And last Sunday night, that little child passed from this scene of time into eternity. And we have to say, in human terms, a very cruel thing seems to have happened. It robs a wife of her husband, parents of their children, the lover of his intended bride. Many of you will know the hymn. It wasn't originally written as a hymn, but it's the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And some of you will be familiar with the author of the hymn, Joseph Scriven, who was brought up just outside the county downtown of Banbridge. Joseph Scriven knew what it was to enter such a dark valley. He was engaged to be married, but tragedy struck. His fiancée was accidentally drowned on the very eve of their wedding, and he was plunged into his first great experience of sorrow. What an awful time. And yet, in the providence of God, it was this tragedy in his life that brought him to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior, as often tragedy does, wakens up a man. He emigrated to Canada to start a new life. A few years later, he fell in love again. He got engaged. But tragedy struck once again, and his bride-to-be took ill with a serious disease, and she died before the wedding day. And once again, he was plunged into the great grief. Tonight, we can all speak of our own experiences, each one sitting here. Most of you have had a loved one taken, some of you in very recent days, we know that. And death is a cruel enemy. It is also a rude enemy. It upsets our best plans without apology. It enters the most exclusive circles without an invitation. Death is an international enemy. There is not a nation in this world which it does not visit. The islands of the ocean, the restless sea, the majestic mountains are all its haunts. Death is an untiring enemy. It continues to work spring, summer, autumn, winter, all the seasons round the year. It never tires its ceaseless rounds, gathering its spoils of human souls. But thank God tonight, to the believer, death is a vanquished enemy. Jesus arose from the dead. And for you and I, that are saved by the grace of God, he has abolished death. Death is conquered for the believer. Hallelujah. And we can say that death is also the last enemy. We have many enemies to meet with in life, but here's the final one. The last one that we'll ever face as a Christian, and it is that of death. No death. Praise the Lord. No breaking hearts as we look for the last time into the faces of our loved ones, as their cheeks grow pale and their eyes glaze. No watching the undertaker as he screws down the lid of the coffin upon our loved one. No following the hearse down the road. No standing at the open graveside in the cemeteries or the graveyards of our land. Thank God there's no death in heaven. I call to mind some words of the Savior in Luke's Gospel, chapter 20, and verses 35 and 36. For they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore. You cannot die anymore if you are the Lord's child. There's no more death in this glorious body that the Savior will give to us. And there's no more sickness. This mortal body of ours is liable to disease. There's so much that can go wrong with the human body. We have already said tonight, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and yet fearful things can go wrong with these bodies. You just need to walk into any hospital and you'll see in all the beds in the various wards people that are sick because disease comes to these bodies. Even to the strongest and the most healthy. Even to those that are the most godly and the most upright. Think of Job, a man that feared God and eschewed evil, who had that bright testimony that the Holy Spirit records in Job chapter 1. Disease came to his body. Here we feel pain. We experience sorrow. We shed tears. We endure hardness and affliction. Here the heart breaks. The soul is downcast. The spirit is overwhelmed. But not so there. For when God comes to dry the eyes and to wipe away the tears, there is not only no more death, but there's neither sorrow nor crying nor pain. Our new body knows nothing of heart disease, of cancerous growths, rheumatic pains, asthmatic attacks, broken bones, dislocated joints, nervous breakdowns, back trouble, headaches, blindness, deafness, dumbness, lameness, tiredness. They're gone forever, forevermore. No more sickness. No more aging. That might be good news for you. You never grow old. The passage of time brings old age. Some of you are feeling that perhaps more than others tonight. Many years will we have? We don't know. We could die young. We could die in our middle years. Or we could live to a grand old age. Days of our years, Moses said, 70 years, if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. And I know tonight we have people in this meeting and they are 80 years and above. The Lord has given you strength. There's a man in the history of David called Barzillai, and he was called an aged man, an old man, and he was just 80 years of age. He had been a great help to David in a time of need. And as David was going back to Jerusalem, going back to the palace, he invited Barzillai to return with him, to sit with him, to come to his table. And he said to Barzillai, I will feed you in Jerusalem. But at 80 years of age, Barzillai was feeling. He was feeling his years. And it seems that he refused the offer and didn't. Whether he actually went to the end of it, I'm not sure, but it seems that he refused the offer because he felt he was old. If you've been listening to the news, you will have learned that the oldest person, the oldest lady in Great Britain died yesterday. She was 113. If you read any of the newspapers, you may find an interview that the paper had with her son, who is a young fellow of 85. But he speaks well of his mother. That's a grand age. And people get old. And if you saw the lady's picture, you'll see right across her frame and her countenance, the years are there. She is aged. But for the child of God, there is no aging in heaven. Our natural body now, due to decay and corruption, knows what it is to grow old, to become feeble, to develop gray hairs, exhibit wrinkles and dryness, and be apt to bend and ache with the passing of years, but not so in the glorified body. There's no decay whatsoever. You see, it's perfect. Not an ache, not a bend, no sign at all of aging. It's a perfect body. And in that perfect body, we will know perfect peace and perfect unity and perfect love and perfect holiness and perfect knowledge for all of God's eternity. This is how it will be for us in glory. But as we draw to a conclusion tonight, let me say this. Just as the saved of God are changed, and we receive a glorified spiritual body that will fit us for heaven, so the unconverted, they'll be resurrected too. And they will receive an appropriate immortal body also. But my friends, a body that is fitted for the flames of hell forevermore. How is it with your soul? That's really important tonight. Someday my earthly house will fall. These are the words of the hymn writer. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. How will it be for you in eternity? Will you receive the glorified, immortal body fitted for the heavenly home above? Will you put on incorruption and immortality? Will you be fashioned like unto his glorious body when your vile body will be changed in the resurrection? Or will you obtain a body fitted for destruction? An immortal body that will experience the fires of hell for eternity. A body that will be like the burning bush, burning but not consumed, that will be tormented day and night forever. What will happen when your earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved? Because be very sure that's going to happen to you, and it's going to happen to me. And this body, this tent, this tabernacle that we have now, one day it will give up the soul. Where will your soul be? In the great eternity of God. It will go to one of two places. It'll be heaven if you are saved and redeemed by the blood of Christ. My friends, it'll be hell forever if you die in your sin. And then comes the resurrection, when that soul will be reunited with the body. And these things that we've thought about tonight will be the experience forevermore for the child of God when we are in glory, and for those that will be damned who die in their sin. How is it with you tonight, spiritually? Let us pray.